Blog Talk Radio.
Live to see it, friends, and welcome to the World Transform. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At the World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster. And with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. Got to the end of a week, didn't we?
Well, it's a short week, but we got our two shows in, and this is an interesting thing we're doing here tonight. This is actually kind of we're not going to do this every week, but we did do it a Friday or two back, where we offered some advice and consent to Elon Musk. So I thought it's only fair. Let's do a show where we, you know, set Jeff Bezos straight on a few things. Ultimately we can.
That's right. It's our, giving unsolicited advice to billionaires segment. It's,
that's right. We won't do it every Friday, but once in a while, they need our help, and we're here for them, okay? We're here for you, the home listener.
We're here for you, the
massively wealthy, powerful billionaire. We're egalitarian that way. We're here to help everybody we can, I think. just how we roll on this program. But, this was kind of cool because that piece reminded me so much of the piece that we had used to talk about Elon Musk. This was on Bloomberg. And it was basically Jeff Bezos giving giving a talk, made some interesting points, and I thought, well, let's go through these things point by point and see if we're tracking with Jeff Bezos 100% on the things that he's saying, and also if we have some thoughts or suggestions for where he might go with some of these ideas. And I actually thought that this item number 6 was very interesting because it seemed like it was a little out of kilter, a little out of sync with some of these others, where Bezos is saying that Gawker's opponents need a thick skin. Just to give a little background on that one,
right?
This is in relation to the big Hulk Hogan lawsuit, and Gawker lost a lot of money to Hulk Hogan, and then it turns out that Peter Thiel was behind the whole thing, right? Peter Thiel was financing.
And also Gawker has announced they're going bankrupt as a result.
Yeah.
A $140 million verdict against you will do that one. So
it will, yeah. They didn't have much of a chance after that. So it is a non-trivial thing that's happened to Gawker. And I haven't followed this story all that closely, but basically what you got Bezos saying here is that Thiel should have bowed out, that maybe Gawker shouldn't have been brought down just for, their error of judgment or whatever it was in posting that video. I don't know, Stephen, you're a lawyer. What do you make of all this? Is Jeff Bezos on the right track? Was Peter Thiel right to back this thing? I felt pretty happy for Hulk Hogan when he won, but right. I didn't know that it was going to destroy Gawker altogether. What do you think?
Well, to me, fewer publicized sex tapes in the world is a good thing. Particularly where the participants were not leaking it themselves, right? If the participants, in a particular situation like that, don't want it out in the public, I say it should be private. And that was the whole issue here, is that Gawker just ran with it and publicized this, saying that basically because you're a public figure, you have no right to privacy at all. And
right.
that didn't carry the day in court. As for whether Peter Thiel should have been involved or not, well, it's his money. He can do what he wants to, as far as I'm concerned. You know, does that make it right? I happen to agree with what happened here. And people, throw their money at this thing and that thing all the time. There's room for debate on whether that's a good thing that Gawker was brought down on this. Does that weaken our freedom of speech? Well, maybe in this one narrow way, maybe it does, but is that such a bad thing? I think there's room for argument there, and certainly nothing that Peter Thiel did was illegal. And and criticizing Peter Thiel, as Jeff Bezos has done here, is certainly legal as well. You know,
right.
we have a marketplace of ideas here, and both Thiel and Bezos are taking part in it, and that's just fine as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the thing on the topic of free speech, the thing that Bezos says is beautiful speech doesn't need protection. It's ugly speech that needs protection.
I agree with that more.
That's true.
Yeah, that's
ugly speech, or is this, you know, basically depriving someone of their privacy and humiliating them for no reason other than it made you money, right?
To make a buck. Yeah, they're making a buck.
Were they really looking to protect the public interest somehow? Or were they just putting this out there for purely prurient reasons so they could get clicks? I mean, that seems obvious that that's what they were doing.
Yeah, I think part B is the correct answer there, and that's and the courts just decided, you know, that's not true. Just because someone is public, you know, a public figure does have less right to privacy than someone who's not a public figure. If you you're putting yourself out there as, you know, the Hulkster for 40 years.
Right.
Then you need to expect that you will not have the same level of privacy as Joe Blow down the street. You know, that said, that doesn't mean you have no privacy, and I kind of like what the court did here. So maybe letting Gawker go down just kind of puts that message out there to the world. I agree with Bezos that it's the ugly speech that needs protecting, but you know what? You know, let the ugly speech be someone arguing in favor of communism. That to
right.
me is ugly speech. That, and I completely disagree with that. But that needs to be protected. And this crap, nah. That's just like you said, purient, and does not in any way enrich the public. So.
Anyway, it's going to be very interesting because we live in the age of clickbait. We live in the age of basically doing anything you can to get people to view your page, and this all occurs under the auspices of, in the U.S. anyway, the First Amendment and the notion of the right to free speech. I don't think we've heard the end of this. I think we're going to hear a lot more about it. It's interesting that you got these two big figures. Peter Thiel, by the way, another guy we could do one of these shows on one of these days, right?
Oh, yeah.
He'll go out and give a talk.
One of these days he'll give a speech and we'll break it down too.
We'll give him some tips and points. But, I think I'm pretty much with you, but I'm interested to see where this goes next. Who's going to try this again, or will no one ever try it again because of the lesson learned from Gawker? We shall see. Okay, how about this next one? Amazon Prime Video helps sell more shoes. This is really interesting, okay?
Yeah.
What's the difference between Amazon Prime Video and Netflix? Well, you can say arguably the selection on Netflix is better. Actually, arguably the selection on Amazon Prime is better. On Amazon, you can buy, you know, things that either it's available for you to watch or it's available for you to get somehow or other, right? Whereas with Netflix,
you got free stuff and you got stuff you can rent and you got stuff you can buy.
Right.
And so if you put all of that together, it's a pretty huge library, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Amazon has got like basic cable and then pay-per-view type stuff. Netflix really just has the basic cable, you know, I mean,
right.
But I would have thought of those as the big differences, and it's really interesting to hear Bezos explain it. No, that's not the difference at all. The difference is it helps us sell shoes. It supports our main business.
And he's basically saying, and this is interesting, that even if Amazon Prime Video was not a money-making division at all, he's saying that, you know, it could be a lost leader for them. In other words, a thing that a loss leader is a product that a store carries at a loss because it gets people into their store to buy other things. Okay, so Amazon Prime Video, I don't think it is a loss leader. I think they make money with Amazon Prime Video on in and of itself. But he's saying even if it were a loss, we're selling more shoes as a result. And I'm going to tell you, our family made the decision about a month ago to turn off the satellite. You know, we're all internet video now. And I can tell you that what it has done for our family is there's some positive things. For one thing, we don't sit there with the TV on, just grazing.
Right.
We plan. Let's watch this movie tonight or do this thing sometime this weekend. We plan our watching and
right.
We did Hulu. I am an Amazon Prime member, so we have that. We also have Netflix and a couple of other things that we do. So and just going to like CBS.com, you can watch a remarkable, and ABC.com and, things like that. A remarkable number of shows are just available that way.
Absolutely.
And we have found that we've lost very little and gained a lot by doing it that way. Not to mention one less bill to pay.
I think that's the way of the future. Well, you let the, you were a pioneer in letting the home phone go, right? So
yeah.
You're just it's all internet all the time. Internet ever goes down though, you're in a lot of trouble, right?
That's true. That's true. We'll have no TV in addition to no anything else. But you know what? It's funny when we're watching TV, half of us are on machines anyway, isn't it? I mean, we have our devices out doing various things. Even if a show's on sometimes, but it's kind of funny. But yeah, as far as do I agree with that? Yes, absolutely. I think some people get Amazon Prime Video just for the video, and then they say, "Oh, well, I can buy shoes without or whatever without having any shipping charges." Well, heck yeah! They come for the video but stay for the
exactly.
Free shipping.
Amazon. I was Amazon Prime before the video, and to me, it was the second day free shipping. It was like, well, that was, I'll take it. Thank you. Yes, that's good. And then, music and videos and, all the other stuff they've thrown in is just gravy. But other people are going to go, hey, I can get all this free video and I get these other bonuses. So, what's the baseball card? What's the bubble gum? Doesn't matter, right? As long as people are signing up and they're buying more stuff off Amazon, Jeff Bezos is perfectly happy. And I'd say that because of that, he has a more resilient business model probably than Netflix does. I'm not to say that Netflix is hurting in any way, but they've got they got more going on there in terms of what their options are, I suppose.
Right.
All right.
Well, the next one, Phil, is Amazon isn't trying to kill UPS. Well, what do you think? Do you think they are or are not?
I had no idea that there were Amazon trucks until I read this story. This is very interesting to me. If you live in a major city,
Well,
I live in a suburb of a big city. It says you've probably seen more trucks featuring Amazon's smiling orange logo zipping around. I've never seen one. Have you ever seen one?
Never.
No.
When I get an Amazon box.
Yeah,
when I get an Amazon box, it's almost always from a brown truck. So
it's interesting. They've expanded their logistics operations to include, I guess, getting shipments right to the door.
Right.
So you can see where that would make UPS exceedingly nervous, wouldn't it?
Whether or not they plan to kill UPS, they have to say we're not trying to kill UPS, right? I mean, UPS is in a way a partner business, and so Amazon has to say that whether they want to kill UPS or not. I think that they really are not after. I'm going to take them at their word on this, that what Amazon really wants to do is in places that UPS just simply can't keep up with all the deliveries that need to be made for Amazon, because let's face it, Amazon is a monster. Mm-hmm. Particularly certain times of the year, like around Christmas and things, it's just the amount of stuff that needs to be delivered is insane. Maybe they're just, they want to make sure their packages get there, so they're going to provide, a complement to what UPS is able to do. Maybe that's the case, and they're not interested in making money that way. But the truth of the matter is, it's a company. They always want to make money in every division. And so I would be interested to see if they are making
any money
here.
They're just saving money, right? They're saving money by paying someone by not having to pay someone else to do it. I mean, it sounds like in places where it's become big in the UK, they say that they support about half the company's deliveries. It's because there was not an option, right? In India, they're doing almost all the last mile. Nobody else does it because who else was there to do it? So it's entirely possible that this is infrastructure that Bezos would be just as happy to spin off as to manage. On the other hand, once you start managing something, maybe you kind of get a little bit of a taste for it. But I love your observation. Amazon isn't trying to kill UPS is exactly what they would say if they were trying to kill UPS.
That's right. It could go either way. You know, you have to say that regardless of whether you are or you not trying to kill UPS. You know, you're going to say that, but oh well.
Yeah. So we'll see if UPS survives Amazon's commitment not to kill them. That'll be a fun thing to watch here going into the future. Okay, number three, AI will have a massive impact on society in the next 20 years. Well, this is hails back to our show on Wednesday. We were just talking about the amazing impact of AI, and everyone's talking about it. We noted that Bill Gates is talking about it. Now here's Jeff Bezos talking about it. And they got 1,000 people working on their AI project.
What more could there be to say except that, the job market will be completely different. How we get around, in our driverless cars will be completely different. Everything is going to be, every product that we own will be smart because it'll be either smart in and of itself or it'll be connected to smartness, right? So, will AI make a massive impact? I think that's a safe bet. Anybody that's watching these things at all realizes that this is going to be huge.
I agree. I think if we hone it in specifically on Amazon, this does call back to the conversation we were having on Wednesday when we talked about this idea of the package just shows up at your house, you didn't order it.
Turns out you really needed it.
You might opt in for Amazon. You'd have to have a lot of trust in Amazon to do this, right? But just to say, yes, I trust you to buy me things because I'll be pleased when I get them and I need them, and to have things show up. If they could pull that off, that would be.
you're trapped under something heavy, and the Amazon box that shows up is a jack. You go, I really did need that jack. I was trapped under this very heavy object. So
exactly. Well, the other thing we talked about on Wednesday was these more basic market basket kinds of applications that Amazon has been doing longer than anybody else. Customers also bought X, right? But what if you turn on your TV and you just say to the Amazon app, I don't know, show me something I'm really going to like, right? And it just starts a show, and it turns out, yep, that was exactly the thing you needed, right? All of that is...
and then you have to modify it to say, show me something that I would really like with my kids in the room.
Well, of course. You see who's in the room here, right? So,
yeah, see who the,
cool.
yeah, check out who's in the room, and show us something we'll all like together.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
I think, for the world in general, for sure, but Bezos has 1,000 people working on AI, I think, to do the kinds of things we're talking about here, right?
Exactly.
Or maybe even wacky things around, they were flirting with owning their own fleet of drones to do deliveries and stuff like that. Well, that's going to take a powerful amount of AI to make that work. So I can't help but think that the massive impact on society in the next 20 years that he is alluding to, Bezos wants to have a big chunk of that massive impact, right? He's looking to he's looking for his company to own some of that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think he's Babe Ruth calling a shot here with this.
There you go. He's pointing the bat. Exactly.
Yeah.
AI. Yeah, it's going to be big over there. Look at that. Watch for that.
That's the spot right there.
Anyway. Here's another one that that goes back to some issues we've been talking about recently. Government surveillance is an issue of our age. I couldn't agree with Bezos more on this.
Yeah, we're in the age of Snowden, no doubt. But, you know, this is the sort of thing, if you're Jeff Bezos, you say, rather than Amazon surveillance is an issue of our age.
Exactly.
You know, truth is, both corporate and government surveillance is something that we as a public have not really fully grasped how much of our privacy we've lost. And I think at some point there's going to be some pushback on some of this stuff.
And it's especially bad when they're in cahoots, right?
When they start
working together, because, you know, Facebook is collecting or Google is collecting all this information on you, which you think, well, that's secure and private, and then government wants it. Well, okay, here it is, right? That's an especially nasty combination of the two. So, Jeff, I would ask you, if you're concerned about government surveillance, to please not let the government have any of my Amazon data. Thank you very much. And also, maybe
pretty much, if someone wants to know, if someone wants to know what my interests are and what I find important, they could do a lot worse than to see what I bought on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what shows I've watched on Amazon Prime. And, Amazon knows a lot about Stephen Gordon, I can tell you.
Well, you go to Google, I mean, just your browsing history, right?
Yeah.
What about products you've just looked at on Amazon, right? I mean, there's just all kinds of incriminating, you know, potentially incriminating or embarrassing or, just private stuff, right, that people don't want anyone else to know that is nobody else's business, right? That you were necessarily reading about something or looking at something, but that information's sitting there. It's sitting there, and it does seem that it's coveted by a lot of different parties. So, yeah, I'm glad he's raising the government surveillance issue. I hope that he'll think carefully about the business surveillance too, particularly his own. Would like it if he would be careful on that. Okay, and now number one, Donald. Oh, we started with kind of a social political one, and we end with two of those. And the third one, the last one here, Donald Trump's attempt to freeze media critics is, quote, not appropriate. I think the description of this is not quite accurate. What did Trump do? He took the press passes away from some Washington Post people, right? I don't know that it freezes media critics. It means they don't get media access into an event, right? If they want to go to it, they have to buy a regular ticket like everybody else. I'm not saying it's a smart move on Trump's part. I'm certainly not a big Trump fan, and I don't endorse him or anything like that. But I'm not sure that is that really an attempt to freeze media critics, or was it more just kind of a typical Trump slapping back at people? Or is this more serious than I'm giving you credit for? Is this a big deal? What do you think, Stephen?
I can say this, that it's done by all politicians, particularly at this level, Bill. I don't believe that Hillary Clinton has given a press conference this calendar year. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. I invite any listener to let us know if I'm wrong on that. But Donald Trump, grace is not a part of his character, and that is a selling point with a lot of the people that that are fans of his. Is he trying to freeze out the media? I think he like any other politician wants the people around him that are asking questions to ask questions that reflect well of him and allow him to sell himself so that he can potentially become president of the United States. That's what he wants, and so he's trying to manipulate it in his favor. And guess what? It's happening on the other side with Hillary Clinton as well. And does that make it right? Perhaps not. But it's what's happening. And
I don't know that Clinton has done this exact thing, though, right? I don't know that she has, like, barred publications from
Well, she doesn't have to. Let's be real. She doesn't have to.
It's not like she would need to bar the
Democrats
Washington
are always going to be coddled by the media by comparison to the next Hitler, which is going to be a Republican, right? So it's according to the media. So they don't have to protect themselves quite as much, but they do. You know, she hasn't given a press conference. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't want unscripted questions. And I think that's a fair criticism to make of Hillary at this point. So, I don't know what more can be said of that, Phil, except that we live in a time that, that both sides are trying to manipulate their media coverage. I don't know that that's any different from any other presidential election. I think it'll be getting nastier this time. I think that the character of these two people running for president is such that it's going to be bruising, and it's going to be a brawl all the way to November.
No doubt.
So,
well, I think that it's entirely possible that his attempt to freeze media critics, if that's what he's actually doing, is not appropriate. I also think it's not a big deal. I think it's
It may turn out to be counterproductive for him.
Brad
we'll
Stone
see.
For Bloomberg wrote this list, and maybe Bezos talked more about more interesting things. But I look at this and I go, you know, the Peter Thiel one is kind of interesting because it's one big Silicon Valley billionaire slamming another one. And, you know, that's always good for entertainment value. And especially since, you know, we're also in the business of advising those guys. We like to see that kind of stuff. But this last one, it just felt like, Jeff, you're wasting our time with this. You know, everybody's chiming in on Donald Trump. If you're gonna give us some talking points, Jeff, in the future, I would ask that you stay more in the AI, stay more in the interesting things that Amazon is doing, and we don't really care about that stuff. That's my that's my final take on that one. Well, real quick, while we're on the subject of Jeff Bezos, I want to direct everyone's attention. This is linked in our show notes. A great post by our good friend, blog post by our good friend Will Brown over at his wonderful blog, Where There's a William. With the title, It's All in the Timing, Phil. I'm Phil. And this is actually Will's chapter submission to our book, The World Transformed, the Abridged Edition, which is going to be coming out one of these days. But check it out. It's Will's advice to Jeff Bezos on how he could give us all a job. And that's all I'm going to say. Everybody check that out. It's great reading. Intriguing stuff from Will, basically talking about how we could all take on new skills and become economically more productive, and Amazon would win big two in the process. And that leaves us just enough time for a quick other geek. And Stephen, I don't know if you saw this. I hope you did. This was wonderful.
I love it.
The Queen's green screen dress starts a hilarious Photoshop battle. You've got to really follow the link to appreciate this. But Queen Elizabeth, God bless her, was out doing whatever it is she does, riding in a carriage, and she happened to have on an outfit, a coat and matching hat that were the perfect green for photoshopping, for using as a green screen, and people have they've availed themselves of that opportunity, haven't they, Stephen? Do you have a favorite of this list of
I think it was pretty hilarious. She's sitting next to, you know, a palace guard with a red, you know, palace guard uniform on, and so someone green screened onto her the palace guard uniform, so she's wearing the same uniform as her guard. I thought that was a pretty funny one.
I thought that was good. I like the Super Mario Brothers one. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that made me laugh also. I liked the blowing up the Death Star. They actually had a video on that one.
Yeah, I have a video running. It is a video, and within the video you see that. There's also a weatherman standing there in her coat at one point giving a weather forecast for the UK, of course. Obviously he would be. Those are all good. The only one I really don't approve of is the one where she's advertising the Sex Pistols. That seems just... That seems wrong because, you know, their big hit song was God Save the Queen, She Ain't No Human Being. Yeah, I don't think that that's appropriate to put that Sex Pistols endorsement on the clip.
I did like the pizza dress. I thought the pepperoni pizza was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty good.
But everybody, check it out. This is this is what a little geekiness will bring into your life. This is fun stuff.
Well, you know, it all reminded me of Phil. You recall the rant from Shia LaBeouf, where he's just do it. You know, you make your dreams come true. Well, he did that against a green screen, and of course, the internet has had a huge fun time taking that rant and putting him in various contexts all over the internet. And so you're pointing to the Queens thing reminded me of that. And so I got into that and looked at it, and lo and behold, somebody set that rant to music. And so that'll be our music tonight.
We're going to listen to that this evening. Well, Stephen, I don't think people can wait. They want to hear that. So we're going to let you all go to the dulcet tones of Shia LaBeouf. Thanks for putting that together, Stephen. Thank you all for being with us. We will be back again next week with 3 brand new shows. And until next time, live to see it.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Make your dreams come true. Get your pants.